This episode is brought to you in collaboration with Pretty Peacock Papery and Writer's Atelier, two companies run by sisters collaborating on stationery and accessories for writers and book lovers. Check out their collaboration at shoppettypeacock.com and use code FEMINIST for 25% off. Welcome back to the Feminist Book Club podcast, a show for dangerous, well-read women. Each week, we explore literature and media through a feminist lens as one small way to reclaim our time, our books, and our stories. Let's get started. Welcome back, everyone. My name is Renee Powers, and I am the founder of Feminist Book Club. Happy Latinx Heritage Month. We kicked it off a little early with our Latinx Voices September subscription box, but we're continuing the celebration all month long. If you're not aware, Latinx Heritage Month runs from September 15th to October 15th. And if you didn't know, we donate 5% of our revenue to different social justice organizations each month, often aligned with our monthly theme. And yes, that's 5% of our revenue, not profit. So that means that every dollar that you spend at feministbookclub.com, a nickel of that then goes directly to the featured organization each month. Our September organization is Mujeristas Collective, an art collective and platform for Latinas and women of color. Our blog contributor, Rishmila, interviewed the founder, Stephanie, and the content producer, Denise, for our blog this week, so you can learn more about their mission and all the incredible things that they do. I will leave a link to that in the show notes, and if you are not following our blog, it is incredible. Our writers, I can say that because I don't write for it. Our writers are amazing. We're putting out content every single weekday, and it is full of book recommendations, full of social justice issues, full of ways to do your feminism in your everyday life, and I can't speak highly enough of it. And also, these show notes, when you're there, they're just going to be full of links. Like, click the link to go to our blog, but also click the link to check out all of the books that will be in our show notes as well, because our guest today is Bianca Herzog. She's the bookstagrammer behind the account My Book World Tour. Bianca is on a mission to read a book by a woman author from every country in the world. And every book that she mentions today is linked in the show notes. This interview is just as much a conversation about how we choose what to read and why we read, just as much as it is an interview with Bianca. So I hope you enjoy it. But before we get to that, I have to tell you about today's sponsor, Pretty Peacock Papery and Writer's Atelier. These are two companies run by sisters Natalie and Raquel. The two sisters, nicknamed the Twins, have always wanted to work together but thought that their businesses were too different. But as their businesses grew, they realized they were indeed very similar, and the literary line was born. This line features bookish and writing-themed gift cards, pencils, stickers, and one of our featured items in our October box. Hang on, hold on to your butts. I first found out about Pretty Peacock Papery because one of our book club members told me I had to check out their stationery. And of course, I fell in love with all the designs and I reached out to Natalie, the owner, immediately. I particularly had my eye on a tote bag in her shop that happens to be one of the collaborative designs that she has with her sister Raquel, founder of Writer's Atelier, which is a studio for writers. So together, they've created tons of literary and reading-themed greeting cards, stickers, pencils, and the super cute Book Babe tote bag that all subscribers will receive in our October boxes. So if you want to get that, plus our October book, which is, have I mentioned? It's The Year of the Witching by Alexis Henderson. Remember Alexis from just a couple of episodes ago? Our members voted on her book, and she's actually going to be joining us for our discussion. So anyways, if you want her book, just realized I don't know if I've announced that here. If you want her book, The Book Babe Tote from Writer's Atelier and Pretty Peacock Papery, and more items that we will unveil in the coming weeks, make sure that you are signed up at feministbookclub.com and definitely check out Natalie and Raquel's businesses. Stationery lovers can use code FEMINIST for 25% off at shoppettypeacock.com. And for any writers listening, Writer's Atelier is offering 25% off the online course Plotting Your Prose with bestselling author Amy Christine Parker. Use the code FEMINIST at writersatelier.com/online school. As always, links will be in the show notes. All right, now it is time to travel the world, since we can't go anywhere, travel the world through literature with Bianca. Hi, everyone. Today, I'm so excited. I'm talking to Bianca Herzog. Bianca is the creator of At My Book World Tour, the Instagram account dedicated to her journey and reading one woman-authored book from every country in the world. When she isn't reading, Bianca works full-time in international cooperation with a focus on global youth development and empowerment. Bianca is Brazilian of Chinese and German heritage and currently lives in Paris, France with her boyfriend and their puppy, Oscar, but is packed to move to New York City as soon as COVID-19 allows. I hope that is sooner rather than later. We'd love you on this side of the pond. Welcome, Bianca.
Thank you so much, Renee. I hope I can go there soon as well.
Well, we start every interview with the same question. And what does it mean to you to be feminist?
Well, feminism for me and to be feminist for me is a journey, a personal journey. I wasn't born into a feminist environment. And I think this is really something that I like hearing other people talk about and talking about it myself. So obviously equality and taking into account the different intersections of a person's identity, but also being mindful that people are learning and unlearning many things, including myself. So this is feminism for me.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think we're all on a path to social justice and taking our own route to get there. And I love the phrase learning and unlearning. It requires so much humility to be able to say, well, I was wrong, and to grow and evolve in our own feminisms. So that's a beautiful definition. Thank you for that. So let's talk about your Instagram account. I think you are our first dedicated bookstagrammer that we've had on. We've had on book podcasters, book bloggers, but I think you are our first dedicated book Instagram account. So tell me about, where did this challenge come from and why did you decide to archive it on Instagram?
Well, my idea came from quarantine.
Like all good ideas have in the last few months.
All of us staying home so long. So I needed a little project. And I noticed that I was reading a lot of books by American authors. And as you said, I'm not American and I don't live in the US. So at one point I stopped and I was like, okay, wow. I had already been reading female authored books or women authored books for the past 2 years. And I decided to start opening my reading horizons and decided to do this challenge, which I hadn't seen other people do, but just for myself and my friends, I created an Instagram account. And now it's, I don't know, it's weird. So many people know about it and so many people support it. So it's really cool.
Yeah, I don't know how I stumbled upon it. I don't know if you found me or if I found you first, but I just thought, this is really cool and we need to talk about this. Because as you said, there are so many American authors that make big splashes, especially on social media. There's so much publishing money put behind American authors especially. And so I'm curious to know, what was that first book that you were like, okay, I'm done reading just American authors. What was the first country you traveled to?
The first country I traveled to was Lebanon, I think. I was reading Our Women on the Ground, which is an anthology edited by Zara Hunkier. And it has different essays by women journalists from the Arab world. And some of these essays are not originally published in English. Some of them are translated from the Arabic, which I found really cool. And one of them specifically was from South Sudan. And I was amazed because I'd never read anything from South Sudan before, let alone by a woman and in a language that I don't speak or read in, which is Arabic. So it was the first, but also the one that inspired me to start being conscious about the books that I choose and the countries that I choose to read from.
Why do you think it's so important to read, as you say, consciously, not necessarily diversely? A lot of us talk about reading, you know, across gender spectrums, across race spectrums. What's the difference between reading diversely and consciously to you?
I think the difference for me is that many times on Bookstagram, like you said, or just in conversations with friends, we're becoming really mindful about reading diversely. But the power of books can start before we even open the book and start reading it. When we think about the reading gaps that we have in our bookshelves or about what a book can bring us, I think this is, for me, reading consciously.
So finding those spaces in, like you said, your bookshelf is the first step to more so reading consciously and with intention. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm looking at my bookshelf right now. That's why I'm not. And I'm reading consciously is when you think about your reading gaps and you try to address those reading gaps and harness the power of picking a book and not just going with the books that are trending online, the books that you see every other bookstagrammer posting about, or the easiest book to pick in a book shop. It's just thinking about the different options of what the book can bring you. And not necessarily for you to learn anything about, because this is a question that I get a lot as well, even from my friends and family. What do you learn from each one of the books that you picked for the tour? And some of them I didn't learn anything. And that's the whole point, because I don't think that for me to choose, or for anybody to choose a book from a country or a culture different from our own, we necessarily need to be taught something. We need to be really mindful about this concept of books teaching you something, especially from different cultures, because you can never summarize a whole country and a whole culture and a whole reality just by one book or just by one point of view. You need multiple. I think everyone would agree that if we had to choose one book from the U.S. to tell someone not from the U.S. like myself what it means to be from the U.S., which book would they choose? It's impossible. So reading consciously for me is also this idea of just picking books that you are interested by, that you really want to read, and not because they're just trending and not expecting so much from it.
Yeah, I get caught in that game too of, you know, oh, this has been all over Bookstagram, therefore I need to read it. And it's a powerful reminder to say, no, there's a reason that we joined this book community online, right? It's because we like talking about books. But that book community doesn't necessarily need to be the one to tell us what to read. Mm-hmm. Going beyond the trending books, going beyond the books that are getting all of the press and the buzz is just as important as entering conversations around a book.
For sure. And it's a system. I mean, which ones are the books that are getting so much press? It's so much harder for a woman from the global South to be trending on Bookstagram or to have her book be published and publicized so much. I think this is also something that I always try to remind myself, that I don't want to just find books online. I want to ask other people about what they're reading.
Because like you said, a lot of books, especially from the global South, don't have the publishing money behind it, don't have the marketing campaigns behind it. Have you found it difficult finding books to fit certain countries?
Yes and no. I read in multiple languages, so that definitely helps me. And I try to share on my page books that are available in English as well, because it's the language that I chose to do the Instagram on. But yes, definitely some countries are difficult, especially during COVID. There are a lot of libraries that have been closed for a really long time. In Paris, we don't have access to many countries that are Anglophone or that have other languages. So it's been a bit difficult. So if people have any tips for countries that I haven't read yet, please let me know. And let's talk about women from around the world who are writing amazing books, because even though maybe we cannot access them from where we are at right now, they're definitely there. There are definitely women writing everywhere. This is one thing that I'm 100% sure of.
Oh, yeah. What countries are you currently looking for? Maybe we can help out with.
Well, Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. Those are two that I'm looking for currently.
Awesome. What languages do you read in?
I read in Portuguese, which is my mother tongue, and in French, where I live. in English as well, and Spanish.
Amazing. I can only imagine how that just broadens your reading horizons. You have so many more options than those of us who speak one or one and a half languages, is how I feel. Have you ever read a book in translation and then in its original language?
I have not. I am planning to do that with my favorite Brazilian author, but I have not yet. Have you?
No, I haven't. I would be so interested in that, of how it compares, how the translation compares. Our book of the month for Feminist Book Club is a book in translation. It's Hurricane Season by Fernanda Melchor, and first published in Spanish. She's a Mexican author, and we're reading it in English. And so I'd be really curious, because I've heard the translation is beautiful, but I don't speak enough Spanish to even attempt that.
Actually, I just bought that book because you put it in the book box.
Yay! And
I bought it in Spanish, so maybe we can
compare. Amazing. Yeah, I would be really interested to hear your thoughts on that, or maybe you can join our discussion at the end of the month.
I would love to.
Okay, awesome. So how many books for this challenge have you read so far? And when did this challenge start?
The challenge started in March when we went into confinement in France. And I did count some books that I read in the beginning of the year, right before I started a challenge. So right now I've read 48 books.
Wow.
48 different countries by women.
Countries. And I was looking at your Instagram recently, and I've seen some books that I love that maybe we've had guests on. You read Ferris by Meredith Toulousen. She was one of our guests.
It was amazing. And I heard the podcast. It was so good.
Yeah, she's incredible. It was one of my favorite podcasts of all time. Oh, The Mountains Sing by Nguyen Phan Khe Mai. Did you love that? I loved that book.
I love that. It's amazing. You should invite her.
I know. That was her first one written in English. She's a Vietnamese author.
Exactly.
Okay, so what are some of the other highlights? I'm looking through your account and finding ones that I've loved, but tell me some of your favorites.
Some of my favorites. Let me flip through my bookshelf. This one is not available in English, but another one of her books is, which is Paulina Shiziani. She is a Mozambican author. She was the first Mozambican woman to publish a novel in Mozambique. And the one that I read is not available in English, but another one is called The First Wife Is, and I highly recommend it. It's about the first wife of polygamous family.
Ooh, interesting. Don't worry, everyone. We will put all of these titles that we mentioned in the show notes, and you can click through it and purchase those from our bookshop.org site. Don't worry. Okay, so you read in multiple languages. You've read 48 books. Are there any books that have surprised you in one way or another?
I don't think I have been surprised by a book, because I try not to expect anything from them when I pick them. I think it's like, as we said, it's a bit problematic when reading the world or trying to diversify our reading to expect to learn something from that book. In the sense, it's okay if we do learn something, and it's even better if we do, but to pick a book expecting to learn something, especially from a different reality to our own, I think that's a little problematic, because we usually, at least me, I would do that and make that choice from my unconscious biases. I would pick a book from what I believe it is to live in that reality, and maybe be surprised when it's not exactly what I expected, when it doesn't fit my own conception of that different country, of that different group of people. So I try really to not expect anything. I pick books that are nonfiction or fiction. I would even go for fantasy if I find something that I like in that genre. And to just try to read a book as I would read the books from my own country or from my own reality, not expecting so much and just expecting good writing.
The country that you select, are you looking for authors from that country, or publishers from that country, or stories set in that country, or a combination of all of them?
I look for authors from that country. And usually I just do a little Google search to see where the person was born. I know it's really complicated concept to just go on Google and try to define someone's national identity, but that's just how I set it for myself. I am open to read books by authors where that are immigrants, that have migrated to different countries, that have come from a different country and are spent most of their life in the country that I chose to read them from. The only other kind of little rule that I have is that if I read anthologies, I choose the editor's nationality. Other than that, I read anything, a book set in different countries. Like I said, fantasy, I'm open to that. Anything.
Yeah, that's interesting because I saw that you've also read The Girl Who Smiled Beads, and that's a refugee story. And so I was curious, you know, does that count towards, she lives in the United States now, does that count towards a United States author? Does that count towards, I think she, oh my
from
gosh.
Rwanda.
Rwanda, thank you. I was going to say, I read it almost a year ago, and now I forget which country she fled. And I know she had been in multiple countries before she came to the U.S. So what did that count towards, Rwanda?
Yes, it's Rwanda.
Okay. That was Girl Who Smiled Beads by Clementine Wamaria. It was one of my favorites.
It's amazing.
What do you do with Indigenous authors? So, you know, Aboriginal, Indigenous, First Nations authors.
That is such a good question. I've only read one book by an Indigenous author for the moment, and I have my eye on lots of different ones from Latin America specifically. So the one that I read is I Am Rigoberta Menchú by Rigoberta Menchú, who is an Indigenous woman from Guatemala. And I did count it for Guatemala, but it's a great question because she did win the Nobel Peace Prize and everything, but she did have to flee the country because she was being prosecuted for being from an Indigenous community. I don't have all the answers, and I think that's also part of the little quarantine experiment that I'm doing that has gone over quarantine. And yeah, and I think that's okay. I think us as readers, we have to just have fun with reading, but also as we talked about before, trying to read consciously and trying to be mindful of these little things when we attribute identities and realities to people, even though maybe we're making a mistake. So if I made a mistake in that case, please tell me and I will rectify and learn.
I love that you're open to feedback and critique. I mean, I think that's also a part of feminism, right? We have to be open and willing to make mistakes. Otherwise, we're not going to make any changes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was curious about, you know, Native and Indigenous and Aboriginal First Nations folks, because borders are so arbitrary and so much goes into colonialism and imperialism that I was curious what your take was going to be on that, especially as, you know, in the United States, we could have American, quote unquote, American authors, but, you know, they weren't, us white folks weren't the people that were here first, right? And so what constitutes an American author, but it really is up for the reader's interpretation. And I like that you're just willing to listen and learn and take feedback on all of it.
No, for sure. And I mean, sometimes when we're doing these reading challenges, we can get really caught up in just ticking off each one of the prompts. And when reading the world, we have to remember that it's not just one book that we're ever going to read from that country. I hope it's not going to be the case for me. And if I did a mistake in the case of Guatemala, I would try to read other authors from that country as well and try to read more Indigenous peoples from other countries. And one of my reading gaps as well is people who are born with some type of disability. And I really want to read more about that. So it's always just trying to learn through books, which is sometimes a more fun way to learn than other ways.
So how do you select a book and what do you decide? I want to learn more about this process. How do you decide what country is next and then go about selecting a book from that country? Or is it you see a book and you're like, oh, I haven't read that country yet?
It's basically the second option. I mean, to be honest, I have read other books that are not just the books that I read for the challenge. And I have repeated some countries already. I'm reading again another book from Lebanon. And I have read other books from the US, then the one that I counted, other books from France. I just really want to have fun and I want to read as much as possible. And I don't want to just tick prompts and be really closed in that idea of like a reading challenge. And the most important thing for me is to always read books that interest me. And I'm mostly interested by feminist nonfiction, by just multi-generational fiction and books like that. So if I see an author, a book written by a woman, I will probably pick it. I would probably try to find it in the libraries close to me or buy it online. That's it.
Yeah. It's so important when we're doing these challenges to remember that we read for leisure. I mean, yes, we read hoping to experience somebody else's life or learn more about a situation or a culture or somebody's experience or just immerse ourselves in another narrative, but it's supposed to be fun. Right? When we're out of school, it's supposed to be a fun hobby. And I think that sometimes it can feel like when we do challenges, reading challenges, or when we do try to read with a little more intention, it can feel like work. And so I appreciate that you are reminding us that, hey, reading is supposed to be fun, even within the challenge that you set for yourself.
Yeah, they're not too independent. You can still read with intention and have fun. That's my challenge for me.
Yeah. So how do you keep track of everything? Do you have a map that you use or a spreadsheet, or how do you do it?
I use a little app called Countries I've Been. It's the very simple one, but I just go highlighting the different countries that I've already read from. And I post the map on my stories every time I get a new country. And like many others on here, I think I have a little book journal where I do my little drawings that is also really calming. And yeah, that's it.
And then you take very elegant photos for Bookstagram too. Again, if you're not following Bianca yet, my book world tour is her Instagram handle, and it is so, you will add so many books to your to-be-read list. What is up next for you? What are you reading now, and what is on your personal TBR?
Right now, I'm reading Flights by Olga Tokarczuk. I'm sorry for the Polish people reading this, listening to this, because I butchered the name, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm also listening to an audiobook by Najud Ali. It's called I Am Najud Ali, 10 Years Old and Divorced.
I heard of that. That's supposed to be incredible.
It's so powerful. It's obvious trigger warnings there. So if this is something that is hard for you, I would be mindful about it. But it's amazing. And in audio, it's great as well.
And what country does that represent?
Yemen.
That's right. Yeah, I heard that on a podcast and I meant to literally add it to my Goodreads to read list and I completely forgot. So thank you for that reminder. That does sound incredible. Favorite books so far that you've read in this challenge?
My favorite book, and it's my favorite book ever, is by Conceição Evaristo. I have to mention one Brazilian author in this conversation. The book that I read is Becos da Memoria, and it's not available in English, but I do recommend a lot her book called Poncia Vivencio, which was translated to English and is available in English, and it's amazing as well. And I picked that.
What's the English translation title?
It's the same. It's Poncia Vivencio.
Okay.
I'll write it down for you.
With my, you know, high school Spanish and college Italian, I'm trying to make that work in a way I'll remember it. Portuguese, not a language that I speak.
Not yet.
Not yet. Thank you. I read a book set in Rio, I believe. It was Rio de Janeiro. No, it was in Sao Paulo, called It Is Wood, It Is Stone by Gabriela Burnham. And she's a Brazilian-American author. And There are some Portuguese phrases in there, and I was thinking, okay, this is like similar enough to Spanish and Italian that I kind of can understand. Bom dia is not that hard to understand.
You have a great accent.
Thanks. But yeah, languages are so fascinating to me. Any other books you think that our audience should check out or read, or if they're looking to travel somewhere via literature, what's a good suggestion?
Travel somewhere through literature. I really loved a book called Cockfight by Maria Eduarda Ampuero from Ecuador. It's not the usual traveling that you have as a tourist where you go to the main sites, but rather you would travel into Ecuadorian people's homes and everything that is hidden behind the perfect facade of a family. And it's amazing. It's a little gruesome, like so many short stories from Latin America. And I recommend.
Excellent. I've heard of that one too. I've seen some really excellent reviews for that one too. So you're looking for Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. Any other countries we can help you find authors in that you're thinking of at the moment?
I accept books from every country.
Okay. What's one that you had trouble finding, but it was so worth the effort in finding?
Samoa. I just obsessed over finding one book from a Pacific island when we had Asian and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. And I found so many different options, but none of them were available in France or for COVID anyway. And I picked one called Afakazi Women, and it was just amazing. I really recommend that one as well. It's just lots of short stories around being a woman in Samoa or from Pacific Islander heritage. So.
Very cool. I can't wait to put this list together for the show notes and share it with everyone. This is such a, everything mentioned here, I've either read or is on my radar, and the ones that aren't, I am so excited to learn more about and pick up for myself. So thank you so much for these incredible suggestions and recommendations and for doing this challenge. I think it's so interesting and so such a great way to open yourself up to authors that are not American, honestly. So thank you for introducing us to so many new titles. Best place to find you online is obviously Bookstagram. Are you anywhere else?
Not really.
Okay. All right.
That is it.
So my book world tour on Instagram, of course, that will be in the show notes. And you know, Feminist Book Club is following you on Instagram. So if you're looking, find us on Instagram, and we will for sure have links to Bianca and her challenge as well. Best part about Bookstagram for you?
The people, all the conversations that we have and all the books that we get to experience with other people. Reading for me up until now was a solitary hobby, and it's become something communal. So it's great.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Bianca. I know it's late there, so we will let you go, but this was really fun. And I just love talking about books from around the world. So thank you.
No, thank you so much, Renee. And good night.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thanks for listening to today's show. As always, a rating and review in the podcast app of your choice goes a long way in supporting feminist media. We'd love to have you join the Feminist Book Club subscription box, a community-driven subscription box which features a book of the month and products from women and queer-owned businesses delivered directly to your doorstep. This is an easy way to vote with your dollars, as you'll be supporting this podcast, small women and queer-owned businesses, and the charity beneficiary of the month, which receives 5% of total sales. Use code PODCAST for a discount on any subscription package. Learn more about the box and get the show notes for today's episode at feministbookclub.com. See you next time.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.